kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And we're going to talk about the completion of the body is based on unity. Completion of the body is based on unity. Have we ever wondered about what the Lord is looking for when he comes for his bride? What is it he's actually looking for with the church, with the overcomers? We have to face the fact that it seems, as the scriptures reveal, that not all professing believers will go up in the rapture, but it's those who make themselves ready. It is those who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and being, who yield to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to have his way in our lives. That is the confidence and the signs given to us that we are on the right course, the right path in our preparation and completion for the coming of the Lord. For he will not come for a divided assembly. He will not come for Christians who are doing their own thing and decide when they want to do what they do and fellowship and so on, like most do, sadly. We are told, aren't we, to put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And what is added? The power of God in which to build his body, to bring this true unity, oneness, and fellowship together. That is what the understanding of that Greek word koinonia, fellowship. We get the idea of this from fellowship that is in the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who love one another, are complete in each other, do nothing contrary to one another. They are in complete unity and oneness. And that is the work God is doing amongst the believers. So we need to keep that in mind as we open this up today. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 15, the book of Romans 15, and we'll look at verses 1 to 7, 1 to 7 of the book of Romans. And here the apostle, as he brings this great book to a close, he's talking about where in the body there should not only be fellowship, but there should also be helps, and those who are willing to take on the burdens, those who are weak or those who are going through trial or whatever it would be, they are prepared to go that extra mile for the sake of fellowship and unity. So let's bear that in mind, because if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we love his body. You cannot separate any of it. So it says here, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. There the apostle makes it quite clear what unity and fellowship is about. We'll just break some of this down. He firstly opens up here, those who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please themselves. So in other words, he's saying here that those who are strong or those who are going through strength at this time, because it can all vary. We are strong in the Lord, but sometimes we go through various diverse trials where we actually feel weak, hopeless, ineffectual. And of course, God is working through these trials in which to make us even stronger in Him. So we do go through various trials and testings, and not all in the body are down. Some go down for a season, it seems, others remain up, and then others go down, and others remain up, it seems. It's just the way it is. It's the work of deliverance that God is doing with us. And sometimes we're not always in the natural on form that we would like to be. But we know also that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we also know that through our weakness, God makes us strong. But we're all on a journey learning that experience by faith. And so he says here that we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. And there is the key to it, not to please ourselves. And we don't if we allow the cross that we take up daily to do that work that releases us, delivers us, so that we can get our eyes off ourselves, our problems, me, and look to the body of Christ. Look to my brother and sister. Being sensitive, is he or she going through a trial? Can I in any way assist or help to make that burden a little lighter? That is what it's meaning here. And it uses the word scruples, which is an interesting word here, because it's a sort of moral and ethical consideration. In other words, I choose to restrain or force myself at times, or I imprison myself, I put up those guards for a season or for a reason for the sake of unity and oneness. Or in other words, I guard my tongue at this point. I could say something, but I choose not to for the sake of unity and oneness. In other words, we are to practice restraint for the sake of unity. And that is what he means here. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So I choose to put restraints on me for the sake of the unity and oneness of the body. We don't always have to say what we think we need to say. The Holy Spirit is well able to speak and to speak to that saint or whatever. And of course, our prayers and intercessions can aid that. I'll talk about that later on. But that is what it's really saying here. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. So my restraint, my abstaining from things can help my brother, my sister leading to edification. In other words, it edifies, it builds the body. We have to consider our actions, what we say, what we do. Will this, does this build the body of Christ? In other words, does this glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Because what I say, what I do, can affect fellowship. Mark my words, it can. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do this work in us if the body is to come into true unity and fellowship. I can only, of course, speak for FGA, but there are other assemblies around the world whom the Holy Spirit is speaking to the very same thing. I sacrifice. I consider. I allow guards on me for the very purpose of my fellowship and my brothers and my sisters. That is what it's saying. And only those who start to grow and mature in Christ will consider this. Immature Christians, babes, do not consider this. They're still too interested in themselves and having their own way and doing what they want to do. And there is the difference. Let's turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we'll look at verses 1 to 3 of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verses 1 to 3. And he says, and it says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There you are. Again, the apostle makes it very clear to the church at Ephesus, we have to walk in that unity and oneness of fellowship. Now, of course, all of this can only be achieved and happen in asking, in allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in me for the sake of unity and fellowship, because we are in unity and fellowship with God Almighty. That is why. If you look just to your brother and sister, that I need to be in fellowship, harmony with them, you will fail. But when you see that your fellowship with your brother and sister is dependent on your fellowship with Almighty God, that puts it in a completely different light. I do everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. I do everything for my Father in heaven. And when we do it unto him, then we start to get fellowship right and with each other. And we begin to understand what the body of Christ is about and what he's achieving and working within us. Let's also turn to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verses 1 to 5. Galatians chapter 6. And verses 1 to 5. And here it's speaking about where we bear and share the burdens in the body. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such as one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So when we see sin, or we see weakness in a brother or sister, make sure that you do that in the spirit, in love, gentleness, because you too could well be tempted. It can happen to you. And when we begin to approach this in that light, it then takes away any of that judgmental attitude that we so easily can have. We aren't always aware how judgmental we can be until God opens our eyes and we realize that there are fingers pointing back at us. We actually don't see it. God has to open our eyes to being judgmental and critical. We can be that blind to it. So he says here, in restoring, helping those who are in sin or trespass, he says, do it in love, in unity, in the spirit, gentleness, because considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, sometimes we may find ourselves where we're helping a brother or sister in their fellowship or what they're going through or their sin in their lives, only finding out that I too have that problem as well. You will find that sometimes where you're helping a brother and sister in their weakness, only to find that you too have it. So we have to be on our guard. Because he says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we take on the burden in our fellowship of our brother and sister, which may often mean getting in prayer, intercession, or even fasting sometimes. We will look at that later on. But we literally take that burden, that weight in the spirit, to pray and to help and to seek them to come through that trial, that weakness, that temptation, or whatever it would be. That is true unity and fellowship in the body. That is what God is looking for in the true church, the body of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So the Apostle Paul is dealing with pride with us, where we're trying to help and correct a brother and sister. It is so easy to view it, well, it's their problem, but I don't have that problem. But the Lord says, you may well have that problem. It's only that you don't see it yet. And so we all have to be on our guard. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So there again, we get something quite specific here. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia. Again, about true unity and fellowship and oneness in the body of Christ. There are times when we haven't a clue of really what our fellowship is all about. But you know, if we're open and we want the Lord to do this work, then He'll do it. Because I said at the beginning of this teaching, God is looking for a church, the body of Christ, that is in true fellowship, unity and oneness with Him and each other. That is the church that He will come for. That is the bride who's making herself ready. And we just have to face the fact that not all believers have that desire in their hearts for that. That is why God is calling the first fruits, the overcomers now, in these last days, to go on into perfection. In other words, into completion. Sonship. He's looking for sons now, in these last days, who wish to grow up in the Spirit. Well, let's take this a step further. (Clears throat) What is the motive of our fellowship? Why do we come to church? Why, indeed, are we here today? Why are we listening to this preacher? Why are we listening to all of this? What's it all about? Well, again, it's because God is building. He's building his church through each one of us. And that's the wonderful miracle of all of this, that every one of us who's baptized into the body, you are part of that building. You help to make up that fellowship, that unity, that oneness. And that's the miracle of all of this. Let's turn to some scriptures. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So we seek each other's well-being. I'm here today to worship, to glorify the Lord, and I'm here today to edify, to build my brother and sister. That is the purpose of my fellowship. And it should be the purpose of your fellowship. I'm not here today to get what I want out of it. I'm here today to glorify the Lord because he calls us together into his presence. And I'm also here that I can assist and aid and help this fellowship which glorifies God. That should be the motive. That should be the heart. It's not about me, what I want and what I get out of it. Because otherwise you cannot really build fellowship when it's always about you and what you want. And sadly we've got many, many Christians that go from church to church, ministry to ministry, because it's all about what they want to get out of it, or they want to get healed by that preacher, or whatever it is. You cannot build the body of Christ in such a manner. You can't. You have to realize he's building this through me, and I have a responsibility. Don't look to anyone else. It's what God says to me and what he does through me. It's very easy sometimes to have that attitude. Well, that sister isn't pulling her weight very, very much. That brother doesn't seem to say anything in the church. We're not to do that. It's what I can do. It's what God can do through me. Can I build, help, encourage the body of Christ? That's what it's about. And all the while you're looking to others, you have not yet learnt what really fellowship is about. What does it say in Philippians chapter 2 verse 4? Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In other words, I am interested in my brothers and sisters. I'm interested in what God is doing in their lives. I'm interested if they've been going through a trial or a test. I'm interested to hear how God is blessing them. He's blessing their hands. In other words, we show an interest in one another. Is that rocket science? No. In other words, it's spiritual hospitality. That's what he's saying here, because that edifies, that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And very often, you too are blessed as a result by doing that. I'm so blessed sometimes when my brothers and sisters, you know, are blessed in the Lord, or they've stood in faith for a long time and suddenly they get the answers to their prayers or whatever it would be. I am so blessed by that. And do you know why? Because I know, although that's free, it's not cheap. I am blessed because I know they've had to go through trial, testing and pain to get that blessing. That's why I'm so blessed. And that's why I like to be interested in my brothers and sisters and not ignore them. That is what fellowship is about. Now, of course, we all have different personalities and characters. I am aware of that. Some have that natural ability to fellowship. They can talk, they can communicate. Others, we don't have that so easily. But nevertheless, God can work. Some of us work well with groups of people. Some of us are better one-to-one. But none of us can be let off the hook, and that's the point. It's coming with that attitude, Lord, use me. I want to edify the body. I want to encourage our fellowship today. I'm ready to be used in whatever way, because it's not about me, it's about glorifying you. Very important. But you see, that will only happen when you pray for the meetings, when you pray for the word, when you pray preparing yourselves. You see, you have to get before God and you have to talk these things. You have to pray these things through so that when we come together, then the Holy Spirit, he can begin to move through you. Why? Because you've birthed it through. You have to birth things through. It doesn't just happen. This is why God says, my house is a house of prayer. And this is why we are to intercede and pray. Let's just remind ourselves again. I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but here we are in Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26. What does he say here? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is why the Holy Spirit wants to make intercessions through you. They are his prayers. They are his intercessions. And we allow the Holy Spirit to do that through us. It's always about our prayer, what I want to pray. Have you ever considered the Holy Spirit? He has prayers, intercessions. After all, he is the high priest who sits at the right hand of the Father, making prayers, intercessions, supplications. They are his prayers. They are his burdens. And when we begin to understand this, what it says in Romans 8:26, then we will begin to start to understand the body, fellowship, praying one for another, because nothing is done unless we pray in the Spirit and we birth it through. I cannot even preach this sermon unless I am in the Spirit praying, interceding over these teachings. It won't happen otherwise. And so these prayers of the Holy Spirit, these prayers that come from God's heart, our prayers for our brothers and sisters, so that they don't they don't go to ruin, that they're kept from the evil one, that they are able to overcome those temptations. In other words, we're praying, keeping them from poverty and ruin. That is what fellowship and unity is about. Much of our prayers are inspired by our everyday living and circumstances. The very things that we have to meet each day in this world, in this life. Every day is a challenge for us. And sometimes we miss it a mile off. And so those prayers, those intercessions that are inspired and led by the Holy Spirit are for the very purpose to help your brother and sister, to get the devil off their back, and so on. What for? For the sake of fellowship, unity, oneness. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. And so the ultimate model, if you like, is that we represent Christ in helping the weak. Today, we're here in fellowship. We're representatives. And we're here today, or should be, to help, to encourage the weak. To build in the body of Christ. Let's look at how Jesus came. I know we know this well, but turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. 5-8. Here is where Christ divested himself, took on the form of human flesh. He was God, but he became God-man, and he took on human flesh. And listen what it says here in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let the Holy Spirit give you the mind and thinking that Christ also walked by, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That is the mind that we are to have, brothers and sisters, for the sake of our fellowship and unity and oneness. It isn't about me. It is about Christ's body. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you love his body. You cannot separate it. Well, like all of these things, we need that patience, we need that endurance, because we know that Rome was not built in a day. You see, so much is built through these virtues of patience, long-suffering, gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is vital in our fellowship. And as we continue with this, we see the plan of God being established. We see the kingdom of God. He begins to open it all up because it's a revelation. We know that flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. And that's why your eyes and ears are so blessed, brothers and sisters. Because the world does not hear and see what you hear and see. What a privilege. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. 35 to 39 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So there we are. That's why we stay with it. We endure because we have a vision. We have seen what God is building in fellowship and unity. But remember, flesh and blood can never reveal these blessings. They come by the Spirit, not by ideas or intellectually trying to work it out. Let's look at some more scriptures just to encourage ourselves. Let's turn back to Corinthians. We'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So there we are. The Apostle Paul leaves as he closes with that epistle. To be at peace, to be one, to be one mind. You see, the completion of the body is based on our unity. And that is how the bride, she makes herself ready. She's making herself ready because we are of one mind, harmony, fellowship. We bear the burdens of each other. We allow the Holy Spirit's prayers and intercessions to pray through us. That's why sometimes you become burdened, sometimes, for a brother or a sister. Or you're just aware they're going through something. It just seems the Holy Spirit is bringing this to your mind and heart. And you know what you've got to do. You've just got to get in prayer. You've got to pray it through. And sometimes it can go on for several weeks. It's birthing it through so that they can get delivered. They can be preserved and kept. We're not always to know what they're going through, the ins and outs. But we're to do what the Holy Spirit tells us and shows us. Why? Because it's all for the sake of unity and oneness. That's why completion of the body is based on our unity, our fellowship.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.